Welcome to the weekend edition of the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. Today's podcast features all the best segments from this week's slate of Undisputed. With in-depth interviews and discussions, we have a lot to talk about heading into next week. Skip, Shannon, let's get to it.
Our next guest is a Grammy-winning rapper, and his new album, Rap or Go to the League, is available now. He even worked with LeBron on that. 2 Chainz, welcome to Undisputed.
Welcome back.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. So, Chainz got that drip on it.
He's got it.
I'm really impressed by the look. Okay, how did it happen with LeBron to work with him on the album?
It was a crazy idea that I had. The name of my album, being Rap or Go to the League, was something that I was trying to use to actually get the attention of the youth. And it's an oxymoron that actually means, you know, the opposite. That I want to try to get the youth to understand they can do more than just sing or have a jump shot. And so when I saw LeBron come out with his More Than an Athlete campaign, it aligned straight up with what I was trying to do. I texted him some crazy message like, hey, man, I think this could work for both of us. This would look good on your resume. It also helped me out a lot, and he came through for me. So I appreciate it.
And how much did he come through? How much did he actually contribute?
Well, for me, LeBron's presence was over enough for me. And this whole situation with my last album, I over-recorded on purpose. I knew I had a concept. I knew I had ideas that I wanted to go with, but I wanted to keep it narrowed down. I didn't want to make a lengthy project. I wanted to be under an hour, and I had so many songs to choose from. So it was cool for me to have outside ears that were in the studio helping me narrow down some of that stuff.
And he did that?
Yeah, he was there for me for that.
Yeah. How many sessions would he come to?
We did over 2 sessions together. I mean, I think what people see now is that, like, maybe the last session we did when it was crunch time to go to mixing and mastering. But the whole process was really cool to have him hear some of my early records before the whole world did.
So when you make this decision that, okay, you say LeBron is helping you, it's a different, to have a different ear. But at the end of the day, if there's something that you felt comfortable with maybe he's like, I don't know, Chainz, if this is going to work. Mm-hmm. Or do you always take final say?
No. Yeah, I have the final say over everything. Yeah, because obviously I'm the musician.
Right.
But I'm just respecting his ear because of what he does for the culture. It's organic.
Right.
You know, every week he's in the back of his car listening to the latest hip hop, whatever drops. He supports the culture. And to have this biggest platform, he doesn't have to do that. You know, he tags artists. He just gives us a sense of hope, whether an artist says it or not. It's so cool to have, like, LeBron playing your music. So I thought it was a great idea to include him on this Rap or Go to the League project.
You and I have talked about this before, but now it comes to fruition even more. You were a pretty good basketball player, especially in high school. Is that fair to say?
I got a nice jump shot.
That thing wet?
That thing wet, man. That thing wet.
And yet, it always strikes me that here comes a LeBron, and he would love to be you, and there's a part of you that would love to be him, right?
Yeah, that's the sports. That's entertainment, period. I think we enjoy each other's lane, you know?
Yes.
We live vicariously through each other. Like, when they're on the court or on the field, they have these headphones on and they're getting hyped up. And then, like, anytime we're in a studio, every studio has a basketball goal. You know, we're gambling on shots. We're doing... Because, like, a lot of us have that history of growing up playing, you know, rec ball or playing... Some of us even had high school experience. So now it's about, like, who had the better past, like who had the better childhood. Like some kids have been obviously doing music their whole life, so we can tell like the lack of sports, so to speak. But then you got these people that were like myself. I played basketball since 7 years old for MLK in Atlanta. Like it's been a part of me. It's a part of my DNA. It's like what I love to do. And so when you see someone like a hooper or somebody around your height, or a skill set, or somebody who can't shoot free throws. Yeah, you start thinking like, man, I might have a 10-day contract. But it's just a dream, though. It's just a dream. It's not going to happen.
Could LeBron have any future as an actual rapper if he pursued it later in his...
I don't think he wants to be a rapper. I don't think he wants to be a rapper. That's...
I think maybe deep down he has that dream in him like you have that dream in you, right?
Maybe. I would love to catch a little alley-oop off the glass.
You know? Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You still put it down like that, Chainz?
It got to be a oop.
you ain't taking the ball up with you.
No. Somebody going to throw it. I could probably tap it in a little bit. But those days are diminishing every day.
Yeah. So what do you see from LeBron post-basketball? What frontiers might he blaze trails in? Where do you see him going?
Well, Skip, you know I can't speak for the man.
No.
You know I can't speak for the man. I'm still a huge Lakers fan, so I don't even want to think about post that. We need to figure this playoffs out and moving forward. What we gonna do in the offseason?
Chan, you rap, but obviously LeBron has made it abundantly clear he wants to own an NBA team.
He does.
That's what's up.
Do you want to own a record label? Is that where you're headed? Movies? I mean, where do you see yourself transitioning?
That's another thing about LeBron, right? He installs this hope. He installs this hope in a lot of us. Like, that was thinking big, right? You know, like to come out and say that, to think big and have a straight face. You know, I never thought about owning a record company. I have my own record company, but not like the big boy, big boy thing.
Not Capital RCA.
Yeah. But like when you hear it from LeBron, he makes you feel like it's attainable. This can happen. Somebody got to own it, you know? So that's a good message that he putting out.
You were talking about you and me in the shop, and you were talking about how much is enough. Your family, I think it was Meek Mill was talking about, do you take care of your homeboy, you take care of your aunt, you take care of your mom, blah, blah, blah. How much is enough? I mean, I'm sure you go through
it's
that.
It's hard. It's hard, bro.
Because how do you say no?
It's hard. You can't say, like, the you say yes, right, so many times. The time you say no, they forget about all the yeses. Right.
You change.
Yeah, no, it literally weighs on the person because we know that you know that we financially have it, but to sit back and say, anytime something happens, then I'll just call this person. It takes a toll on the relationship. I don't care who the person is. It just takes a toll on it. Some days you feel like saying yes, whatever you want, and some days you want to be like, man, I think you can handle that yourself. And so for me, I'm an only child, but I have,
uncles.
200 uncles, 200 aunts, 200 cousins. At least that's what it feels like. Mm-hmm. And people really come to me with, maybe, I don't know. I hadn't changed my number in a very long time, so.
Might need to, huh?
Yeah, or maybe not, because the whole thing with me is I know I'm blessed and I have to figure out a way to bless others, you know, but I don't want to bless others to the point where I need help again, you know? Right. So it's about, it's just trying to, figure it out. It's very hard for me. Like somebody like me who takes care of his whole entire family. I just told y'all off the air what I did I bought my wife a business, and I try to install that into them, the entrepreneurship, even with my kids, my whole family. But some people feel like they don't want to work. Mm-hmm. They just need someone to do this, and it takes a toll on the relationship.
Mm-hmm. You just mentioned you're a Laker fan. Mm-hmm. It was hard for us to watch what happened last night. Mm-hmm. Now they're sort of on life support, playoff support.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Gut feeling, what is missing right now to you?
AD.
Mm. That'll
work.
That's a good answer,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it is. It's a great answer.
Why y'all keep playing with us like that out there, man? We were supposed to get Chris Paul 1 year. Was Stern still in when that happened?
Yeah.
And then,
remember, the league owned the, what were they, the New Orleans Hornets?
The Hornets.
The league owned them. That was the,
interesting.
That was interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's something going on out there. Was Magic with him then? No. Okay, I'm just trying to find the.
You're trying to connect the dots.
Yeah, I'm trying to
see what's going on.
We'll have to do that off the air. But for the most part, I'm from Atlanta. I'm obviously a Hawks fan because I'm from Atlanta. But like my father was this passionate Lakers fan, right? This Magic, this whole thing like back in the days. I'm talking about Worthy, Cooper, the whole nine. He was like really into it. And so I picked up on the same thing, and then I became this huge Kobe fan, right? Like, why not? Love the Lakers. And then, like, when Kobe left, I still love the Lakers. And then they got Bron. So then, I'm not going anywhere. We're going to have to figure it out.
Were you shocked the AD trade didn't go through?
I definitely was. Yeah. They gave their whole roster away, or tried to. And it kind of like, man, it... To me, it has a small effect on what we're seeing with the Lakers right now, right? Like some of the kids, like hearing in the media, like you might not, be here. Like I don't think people understand now. Some of the people that they were talking about, they don't have families and kids and stuff like that, but they still have to like get up, figure out the next,
I do.
With sports, it's kind of tricky. You have to find a place to stay. Mm-hmm. If you do have a relationship, it can hinder it. I mean, if you do have kids, it can hinder it. Mm-hmm. This is a business, so I get it. But then you put in the news, we're gonna give you this whole, everybody.
But Chan, I'll put it to you like this. You can understand this. You in a group. You the lead guy.
I'm the big dog. Okay.
And a couple, and you're like, okay, well, we thinking about, because you ain't really holding up your end. I think we can get a couple of Grammys. We might get some Oscar nominations if we replace the bass player and the guy that's doing the hook on this one, and we go on a different, but all of a sudden, the guy don't come through. He don't, you know, you can't get the guy that you really want to sing the hook, and the bass player don't come, and y'all got to stick together. He still got to do his job.
But I think the fact that y'all was talking about the person out loud, they feelings got involved.
You can't let them checks still coming.
No, them checks still coming.
Exactly then.
But you start thinking that you're disposable at any given time, right?
You are. You the only one in the group that's not disposable.
But so he has to come in, and I just talked to Steve about this. He has to come in and use the word, I guess, we more often. So everybody feel like
they're a part of it.
You know, you can't be like, man, you're going to be all right. You're like, we're going to figure this out, right? You got to play the psychology game with them. And like, because at the end of the day, like, these guys are like, Ingram, you can't, you talking about trading me. Kuzmo's playing awesome. You know, like, then you want me to come out, like, the trade don't go through. Then you want me to play, like, the first six games after that, I'm saying, man, y'all anyway, I ain't messing with y'all anyway. That's just the spirit.
But Skip and I talked about it, is that looking at LeBron from a distance, you have an idea of what he's like. Mm. Now he's there. You're playing with him. And you like, man, Bron cutthroat. Man, Bron ain't man, Bron trying to buy this business of winning with or without us. And if we can't get it done, he's quick to pull somebody else in here. So it changes your perspective of how you see Bron. Because you see him one way, but not once we get there, you know, I'm sure people are like, man, Chain, man, it'd be cool to work with Chain. But then you have them long sessions, they're like, man, Chain's a mofo, man. I can't wait to get up out this studio.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we know he's a champion. We know he's a perfect example of God-given talent and work ethic combined. We've seen his trajectory. We've seen him Sports Illustrated cover all the way up to here. We've seen how he is on and off the court. Mm-hmm. I mean, this shouldn't be like a surprise to anybody. I don't understand. He does it everywhere he goes. The guy wants to win. To think that he does not want to be in the playoffs this year, it's crazy.
Mm. Yeah, the Skip. It's Skip crazy. Talking about he came to L.A. just to be, he didn't want to pass Michael Jordan. He wanted to pass Michael B. Jordan. He's in Hollywood
That's a funny line. No, I like that line.
You ain't right, man. Michael B. Jordan.
Okay, so if he gets AD next year, does that change in life in L.A.? Is that enough?
Well, that's good. It's a lot of free agents out there now. Y'all don't get the smoke and mirror.
We got something brewing change. We got something brewing.
Don't think that y'all don't go for this. Don't nobody want to play in L.A. Don't go for that. And if we happen to not make the playoffs, it won't happen again for the next 20, 30 years.
Shannon's heard some whispers here today.
I ain't heard nothing.
We got a couple.
Don't nobody over there like losing. Mm-hmm. Like nobody that's participating in this right now. Like, look.
We put it like this, we got something brewing, and I ain't talking about a pot of coffee. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we got something changing. We got something.
That boy crazy. That boy is crazy.
So how many more years do you see LeBron playing at this level? Like where he's all in?
I think we all know how much he invests into his body. This is my first time this year ever seeing him injured, ever. This groin injury. It was a groin injury, not even a hamstring, no knee, no ankle. Right. This is our first time seeing him outstretch himself or whatever. You know what I mean? So he has some type of regimen to where I've been around a guy, he eats, you know, healthy all day long. He's not just like somebody that's seasonal. I think he practices this stuff annually all year round, you know? And so when you have somebody that committed, like I told you, with this God-given talent and the work ethic and knowing what it takes inside and out, I don't think we would see a decline because they tried this up until this injury. He was playing like the best he's ever played, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I feel real good about it.
I mean, he's playing bad right now. He just averaging 27, 8, and 8.
Yeah, that's terrible. That's horrible.
Those are fall out of bed numbers for LeBron James.
Yeah, well, right? Guess what? He's going to be falling out of bed for another 4 years.
Yes, sir.
We're going to take a quick break, but we have more to get to 2 Chainz when we come right back. No mercy. Welcome back.
Yep.
2 Chainz is still with us on Undisputed. It's good to have you.
True.
James Harden, Giannis, Paul George, who you got for MVP right now?
I'm going to go with James. Mm. I like Giannis, too, but I got to give – people ain't giving Coach Bud no credit. Mm. Coach Bud, I think, I mean, Giannis is already, like, on the rise. But I think when Coach Bud got in there and kind of, like, I don't know what he did as far as team chemistry and put people in position to win, but he's always been a great coach since before he got to the Hawks. Mm-hmm. So that's – I'm not taking away credit from Giannis. I'm just giving credit to Coach mm-hmm. Bud. Now, as far as James Harden, I don't know nobody that can stop him, period. Like, he just – I don't know. I mean, and he makes it look so effortless that it's just crazy. He steps back 4 feet, shoots from – right in front of the half court. Mm. It's like, so I like what he's doing. I like his energy. I like Houston too. Mm.
Mm. Do you?
Yeah.
Threat to Golden State?
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
They shoot as much. Live by the three, die by it. Mm-hmm.
Would you pick them to win the West?
I think it's hard, you know. Golden State, we know what they do every year. It's hard. Now they got DeMarcus. But then, you know, I know Draymond, you know, he's been lagging a little bit, but I feel like when it comes time to playoff, we know what Draymond brings to the table. Mm-hmm. You know, he the nucleus of that. So
yeah.
I'm interested in seeing this. I want to see this personally. Chris Paul looks very healthy, and that's what I want to see. Mm. Yeah. East is like, you know, I'm looking at like the Bucks. Or not the Celtics, or
Toronto. Philly?
He said,
You don't like Toronto?
He said,
I know they just, I know what. Well,
you ain't got but 14. You got Philly, Toronto, the Celtics, Milwaukee.
Yeah, and I like, out of those four, I like Milwaukee. And I'm not going to count Embiid out. I trust the process.
Yep. No, I hear you. It sounds like you miss Coach Bud in Atlanta, right?
I ain't going to say that because we got another good coach. I don't know if people notice how good, like, Milwaukee look right now. Like, they've had the same team for the most part.
I noticed you ain't mentioned the Celtics.
Y'all done made Kyrie mad up there.
What you mean, y'all?
Y'all better stop asking them crazy questions. Them folk messing with Kyrie, man. Y'all can't do that, man. It's still like one of the best point, if not in the whole world, point guards. Man, this is Kyrie, man. Y'all stop playing.
They want to know why that you got to the Eastern Conference Finals of Game 7, minus you, they play so much better without you. They play so much better without you. What's going on with you?
Y'all won't leave them alone.
When we ever left superstars alone?
Y'all need to start. Every superstar. Now, you got to think now. We didn't hear from, we never heard Kyrie even talk until Bron went back to Cleveland. You got to think. I almost remember the first time he said something. Yeah. Like, it was like, I didn't even know how his voice sounded. You know, this is fairly new for Kyrie, like, to be getting asked these questions.
He wanted this, though. Yeah. He wanted his own team changed.
Yeah, everybody wants their own team, but it's the scrutiny that comes along with it.
What do you thought? Are you going to be peaches and cream?
Yeah, well.
Was that what LeBron did?
And then you can't put him in the trade talks and the same thing with the young boys. Now, you can't be talking about, you can't be bringing up his name and he dropped everything he was doing and came up. You know, Danny Ainge, he cold. We know what Danny Ainge, Danny Ainge cold, man. Well, saw what he did.
Isaiah.
Come on, man. He's cold, man.
Well, Kyrie about to show him he need a jacket because Kyrie about to be cold.
What you talking about?
Kyrie about to be cold.
Yeah, I see the same thing. Yeah, you have to be careful, man, playing. And then, you know, players are starting to, like, mature and start to realize their worth, too. Mm-hmm. There's plenty more teams we can go to. Mm-hmm. And then, look, all the basketball players, we all got Instagram and each other's phone number. We, say, let's go over here and play. Mm-hmm. Like, let's do what we want to do. So
do you, just your educated guess, gut feeling, Kyrie, KD, do they team up and go somewhere else?
I think Kyrie's leaving. Mm-hmm. KD can kind of do what he wants to do, man. I like where he is in his career, you know. If they match up, that'd be cool, too. They should come to the Lakers.
Now, that's a novel idea, isn't it?
That ain't none of my business. I think
they should come to the Lakers. Kyrie called him and apologized. I mean, why don't we just finish what we started, man? What you think?
They won't even be fair.
What you think, Shannon?
Skip, I'm about to miss
a couple of days. That's what Showtime is about now.
What?
Is that championship? Is that?
We might win 80 games. with Kyrie, LeBron, and KD?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Come on, Skip.
LeBron's a third wheel.
Don't do that. See,
wouldn't
see,
it be?
You see how he tried to sow the
seed
already?
Well, I'm just saying.
You see what he's trying to do with Chance?
Yeah, I don't know what LeBron did to him. Well, he LeBron didn't do his album. LeBron didn't listen to his album.
He didn't do anything to me. He'd be in his 17th year.
I can't tell.
He wouldn't need that.
27, 8,
what happens is he gets to rest some night and still average triple doubles.
I would agree.
Doubles. I just feel like he can almost take the point guard position.
He would play point guard.
And that Kyrie played at two. And KD.
Oh, man.
Okay, so what? LeBron averaged 22, 14, and 6.
So think what you'd have. The best player on the planet, KD.
See?
You'd have...
You didn't change.
Wait a second. Then you'd have the best closer on the planet in Kyrie.
Okay, what's LeBron?
And then you'd have LeBron.
Wow.
Jay, you hear that, Jay?
Y'all be drinking like y'all don't know. I'll be drinking.
You never know around here.
Huh?
Oh, if only we had more time for that one.
He got up real early this morning, Jay. That's what it is.
Every single day. Man,
you know what? If you took KD, take KD away from Golden State and bring him to L.A., now you've damaged them and you've got,
He's not the only person in Golden State I feel like a leave.
Ooh, really?
Oh,
Clay.
Clay needs his own, I think, you know.
Okay. We're going to leave it on that note. You never know, 2 Chainz.
Leave, Clay, leave.
So much for
come
here
to the Lakers, Clay.
Oh, Clay to the Lakers.
Clay to the Lakers. Save this footage. Clay to the Lakers.
Hey, we're going to cut it and save it. Good luck in the new album. Appreciate your time.
No mercy.
All right, LeBron is now fourth place on the all-time scoring list after passing Michael Jordan last night. We're joined by FS1 NBA analyst Stephen Jackson.
Morning.
Good
morning.
To have you.
Morning.
All right, yeah. Stephen, how much did last night?
We killing them too.
I know this is working today.
We?
We've got a theme going.
We?
I'm gonna give
we got the
style. Yeah, I'll give wardrobe Autumn, our girl, some credit
fresh,
for this one.
Don't count.
Okay, when you think about last night, when you think about LeBron, how much did last night help LeBron in terms of the argument to be the best ever, the greatest ever?
Well, he's great already. He's not the best ever. I mean, yes, he's passed Jordan, but when he passed Jordan in championships, finals MVPs, Defensive Player of the Year, scoring titles, and all defensive teams, then he'll pass MJ. I didn't want to have to run all that down.
Why don't we just preach a little more?
I don't want to have to run all that down.
We like it. Why don't we just go on to the next question? We can just change that.
Championships?
Yeah.
Championships?
It's over.
Defensive Player of the Year?
It's over,
MVPs? Finals MVPs?
Thank you. Case closed.
I said it yesterday. I said,
okay.
Thank you. Over.
And I still got Jordan second.
Oh, no. It's a big deal.
It is a big deal because he's great.
Hold on, wait a minute. Now, one of Michael Jordan, the greatest attribute that Michael Jordan possessed on the basketball court was scoring. My guy, not known as a scorer. Mm. Basket.
I consider him a scorer.
No, don't do that. No, you don't. Don't do that. Nobody considers it because they're like, okay, these dudes can do this. He couldn't score like Kobe, or he couldn't score like MJ, or he couldn't score like this one.
He's 6'9", 280. He's the greatest attacker in the basket ever.
Don't get with scoring and having extra drive and mama mentality confused. Mm-hmm. Don't get it confused.
You know what?
Mama mentality and scoring is two different things.
Yeah. You don't leave Beaumont without drive.
Right.
You don't leave Akron, Ohio, born to a 15-year-old mother with no dominant male figure in your life and become that without drive.
Right.
So Skip Bayless, again, this man has more points, more rebounds, more assists, better field goal percentage, better three-point percentage. The only thing he doesn't have, free throw percentage. But, I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So 5 out of 6 ain't bad. Mm. 5 out of 6 ain't bad, Skip Bayless.
Mm.
Got four, he gonna get another one. I believe he'd have been in serious contention for this his fifth MVP had he not gotten hurt. Mm. Now that's by the wayside. James Harden's gonna win that. But Skip Bayless, you know what? For me, we ain't seen no greatness like this before. Nobody's possessed this longevity to be able to do this. Not Michael, because Michael took 2 years off and then he took another 3 years off and then he went to Washington. Mm. We gonna just sweep that under the rug. But he did go to the Wizards. At the time, I think they were known. Were they still the Wizards or were they the Bullets?
We don't care about this. We're talking about who is greater.
You know who's greater.
No way.
You know what? I am increasingly offended that we're even asking
I'm offended
question.
That you offended.
Because it's not even close. Yeah, okay, I'll give you that one. You know, let's just start with this. And
what?
This man understands. I covered him. He played against him. He knows. You know, but you won't admit.
No.
We are talking about the all-time cold-blooded basketball killer.
Yes.
Killer. It was the greatest intangible package I've ever seen. It was a force of nature on the basketball court. There have been times, as great as LeBron is, that I have questioned his mental toughness occasionally. Here and there, just here and there. Like what happened at the end of game one last year when he had him on the ropes at Oakland. And then he just threw a fit and he pouted on the bench and he separated himself from his teammates and he pouted for the first 2.5 minutes of overtime. Jordan just doesn't do that.
It wasn't his fault that JR got into my stash in my dressing room.
You can't let that completely derail you in a game one that you were tied going into overtime.
We should have won it in regulation.
You should have. You should have won it in overtime. Man. You had them on the run, man.
He averaged a triple-double for that series. Almost.
You know, all I need to start with is 6-0 in the finals with 6 MVPs. That's unconquerable. That's invincible. That's it. That's all-time game over case closed.
So it's all about championships, right?
Well, that's just the start of it, because when one guy has 10 scoring titles to the other guy's one, that's extraordinary. And the gap is so great.
So he should be way, way ahead in points. Mm. 10 scoring titles to one? Mm.
And, you know, unfortunately, basketball is a two-way game, unlike football. You know, they don't do it. You didn't have to play defense,
No, I did
right?
not.
And I think you could have, but they wouldn't let you because they just don't do that anymore.
Right.
But in basketball, you have to play defense.
You
this
should.
Man really played defense. Michael Jordan really played it because one year he won Defensive Player of the Year.
LeBron should have won it.
Nine
they gave it to Mark Gasol.
I should have been a two-time All-Star.
Yeah, right.
Should have, could have, would have.
Nine times Jordan was first-team All-Defense. I'm giving your man this. He was 6 times.
6!
But 9 times. 3 times, Michael Jeffrey Jordan led the whole league in steals. 3 times. LeBron never did that.
No.
But I'm not holding that against
but
him.
Guard, because
that's impressive. No,
normally, guards lead the league. Okay. Allen Iverson led the league in steals at 5'11".
Guards don't get Defensive Player of the Year, though.
Yeah, they do.
Don't.
Name who?
I'm trying to think. Who was?
There's normally big man.
Maybe Alvin Robertson is the only guy I can think of.
All right, well, let's put Michael Jordan and Alvin Robertson in the same.
No. Very few guards get it. It's always big.
And then let's talk about those intangibles. Obviously, Jordan never melted down in a finals against the Dallas Mavericks in 2011. Jordan just wouldn't do what LeBron did.
He was always favorite.
Okay.
Well, he was bold to win.
His first go-round with the Heat, and there was a lot of pressure, and they're up 2-1, and then the chosen one became the frozen one. I've never seen anything quite like it. But that never happened to Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan didn't need to miss a shot with 7 seconds left in game 6 of the 2013 finals against the San Antonio Spurs. He didn't need to miss one and have a lucky rebound bounce out where it got kicked to Ray Allen, where he made the greatest clutch shot I've ever seen to save LeBron's legacy. That was not a call play. It wasn't Ray's play. It just happened.
What happened
it
in overtime?
Saved. It took LeBron off
the hook. Who took over the overtime?
He did. My Spurs were shot in the heart.
Yo, hold on. You hold on. But
only because I wasn't.
Hold on.
You know what?
Hold on. That's why were they shot in the heart? Now, you just told me
Ray
LeBron had Golden State. But the mentally tough with Tim Duncan and Manu and Tony Parker and Kawhi, coached by Pop, and LeBron snatched it from him?
No, right?
You act like you didn't have D-Wade.
Yeah. But I'm saying.
Hold up. You discrediting D-Wade. No, he's a Hall of Famer, too. Chris Bosh, a Hall of Famer, too.
No, hold on. But see, he keeps talking about that game 6 and the missed shot. Mm-hmm. He won't talk about LeBron scored 16 because they were down 10 points in the fourth quarter. And LeBron scored 16, assisted on another 6. So 22 of the 30 they scored. King James.
What you won't talk about is that LeBron James in the last 3 minutes of that game had 3 unforced error turnovers, highly uncharacteristic of LeBron James. But he is high turnover. Jordan, not high turnover. Jordan had the ball in his hands more than LeBron.
He wasn't looking to pass it.
Usage rate higher on average for Jordan. Mm-hmm. Ball in hand.
Yes.
Turnovers way higher for LeBron.
If you got the ball more, shouldn't you have more assists?
Yes.
So why did LeBron...
More turnovers. Mm. Guys, if you look at the league, guys that have the bottom most in the NBA always lead the league in turnovers.
Thank you, Skip Bayless.
Okay, but Michael didn't lead.
But he's not trying to... But Mike ain't trying to pass the ball. Mm.
But could Mike pass the ball? Yes, he could. He averaged 5.3 assists for his whole career. That's high. because LeBron has averaged 7.2. Seven. So 5.3 to 7.2. That's not, it's less than two a game in the gap between them.
But how many games y'all play?
82.
Oh, 82 over 16 years. Mm-hmm. So imagine if I gave you a dollar a day times 82. Over 16. You got a nice little piece of chain, huh?
Yeah.
But the difference is, though, with Jordan, the reason why he shot, because nobody couldn't stop him. Nobody can't stop LeBron. He chooses to pass.
He does.
If he had the attitude, well, I'm finna run over everybody and score every time, he would average
totally
50.
Agree.
No. He would average 50.
Yes.
Easy.
Yes.
But that's
can't
not
nobody
his,
stop LeBron
but that's
in
not
the world.
His, but that's not his DNA.
But, okay, that's true. It's not his DNA, but if he didn't play to the level of his competition and been comfortable with just being a little dominant, if he wanted to be a killer,
he a lot of dominant.
If he wanted to be a killer, though, they would
killer.
Be in the playoffs right now.
Killer,
they would
not
be in the playoffs right now.
No, oh, that's it.
Can't nobody stop him.
Killer, not a killer.
Yeah, no. His teammates.
Mm. So Jordan's biggest assist year was in 88-89, when he, of course, won that MVP. He averaged 8 assists a game in 88-89, so he's capable. LeBron's biggest assist year is 9.1. So Jordan, in his best year, was only one assist off LeBron in his best year.
But you think, okay, that was his best decision.
So don't discredit him. Don't say he can't pass the basketball because he could really pass
it. Well, he can't pass it often. Because you say he...
No, he chose not to pass
it. Oh, he chose to. You see what
he didn't have to.
He chose not to.
What would you rather do? Scoreboard or pass? You know, like
LeBron,
come on. Mike's saying, I got this.
LeBron,
I got this.
LeBron is like, LeBron, see, I'm the type, me and LeBron are a lot alike. Mm. You know, I want to do my talk time, but hey, Stacks, you go ahead and get the points in. Go ahead and do your things.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
see,
so
I ain't like you hoard up all the time. You try to hoard up all the time from me. But see, I pass.
Y'all different in a little way.
Because
you ride for him. He don't ride for you like
you know,
he's supposed to.
I do agree you're a lot alike
LeBron
like LeBron
ride for you like you ride
because you don't have those winners intangibles.
Who?
You're down like, what, a net 34 cases of Diet Dukes?
I'm down
so you don't have winners intangibles.
Right I'm different.
You're correct.
I couldn't
you're
win
the equivalent of
bottle.
3-6 in the finals, right?
I couldn't even win a 2-liter bottle of you off you for this week. But it's coming, though, Skip. You know what? You laughing right now and everybody, okay, oh, LeBron, Jay. Yeah.
But what see, I said yesterday.
Yeah, the energy. Mm-hmm. Remember I told you about your
Cowboys? I know.
It's going to happen.
Okay.
It's going to happen.
You know what? This just closes the case.
It don't close no case.
This closes it. If LeBron were that guy, he would have figured out how to make at least 80% of his free throws.
Oh, stop it.
You can't bring me GOAT when you're a 74% free throw shooter. 74, and this year he's 66%.
Skip.
Jordan never even sniffed 70s or 60s, let alone 60s.
Skip.
Because if you're great, if you're even in the discussion for Rushmore, you can't make 74%.
No. And this is the era.
Come on.
Where you got guards getting hack-a-shacked.
Yeah.
Robinson for OKC, they was hack-a-shacking him.
Yeah.
You got guards getting hack-a-shacked. I've never seen this before in the NBA.
LeBron ain't the GOAT. You're right. He ain't the GOAT.
He GOAT-ish?
He the big horn sheep, which is a higher ranking than a GOAT.
Okay. We still keep going back to that. All right.
There's levels to GOATs.
Big horn sheep.
Yeah, you got leveling. The little ones.
Yeah.
Big ones.
Yeah.
And then the ones that got them
the Rams.
Up. Yeah.
Different debate.
He
different
is
day.
The phony GOAT.
No, no, no.
I'll give you phony GOAT.
No, he's not.
Phony GOAT.
Steven, you're going to come back later
crown.
In the show.
Yes,
all right.
Yes.
I'll hopefully mix up the conversation by then.
No mercy.
Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant were on the same court last night as the Celtics blew out the Warriors. There has been a lot of speculation that they'll join forces with the Knicks this summer, but our friend Chris Broussard said this morning on First Things First that they may be having second thoughts. Take a listen.
The dream scenario for the Clippers is Kawhi and KD. And I was told yesterday by a good source, we all know Kyrie and KD are considering the Knicks, right? Mm-hmm. But I was told that they have some apprehensions about New York. Why? Because of the media.
Yeah,
they really, which is, makes all the sense in the world from what we've seen.
Them two together?
That could benefit the Clippers.
Okay, Steven Jackson back with us. What do you make of those rumors?
Well, at the end of the day, wherever they sign, they won't be getting asked the same questions they're getting asked now.
Right.
First of all. Okay? And regardless where they sign and where they go, somebody's going to ask them a dumb question and they're going to get upset.
Right.
Yep.
Okay? That's going to happen.
When,
wherever they sign, it's going to happen. Okay? Mm-hmm. Let's just say that. Now, they talk a lot. Everybody know they're good friends. Nobody knows where they're going, but we all know that they want to play together. Where they're going, I don't know, but it'll be good to see them together in the Clippers. I think that would be great to see two stars go to the Clippers.
Mm.
In L.A., with what LeBron has going on, I think that'll be great for LA, yeah.
When I look at it, look, if you don't like dealing with the media, because ain't no media like New York. None. Zero. Nothing in the world. If that's a different animal, that's a different beast. And if you think asking a dumb question, but see, asking a dumb question in Boston or getting asked a dumb question in Golden State is one thing. Mm-hmm. And you reacting like we've seen these guys react. They ask you a dumb question in New York and you respond that way. They're going to run that thing for the next week. Mm-hmm. You're going to be in the paper. Now, here's the thing, Skip. Look, I think it would be very, I think KD would be very, very reluctant to join LeBron with the Lakers for the simple fact of his legacy. He's chasing LeBron. I don't want to link up with him. I want to try and beat him. Kyrie realizes how good he had it because LeBron let him be him. You want to go get 25 a night? Go get it, bro. You good.
True.
Because now I can be off the court
and
know Kyrie. Mm-hmm. Ain't got to, when he say he wanted playmakers, I think he meant something like Kyrie.
Yeah.
But the guy that gave playmakers, they ain't Kyrie. He can be off the court for stretches, Skip. And Kyrie can dance and do his thing because we know Kyrie can dance with the best of them with the basketball.
Oh, my goodness.
So with that being said, look, I do agree with Chris Broussard. I don't believe Kawhi is re-signing with Toronto. And I think his ideal scenario would have probably been play with the Lakers, provided LeBron didn't beat him to the punch and join the Lakers. So I can see a scenario with KD and Kawhi. And then what did that leave Kyrie Irving?
Mm-hmm.
Right back where it all started.
Yeah.
Put the band back together. We tried it. We went our separate ways.
Mm.
And it, you know, did okay. Had a gold album. LeBron had a platinum album. Went to the finals last year. But ain't nothing like what we had when we were together.
So you're saying LeBron and Kyrie only?
No.
The Lakers.
LeBron, Kyrie, and AD.
And AD.
Yeah, because KD ain't chasing LeBron. Let me tell you that. He not chasing LeBron.
That's what I'm talking about.
What do you mean by chasing? Like
LeBron's chasing Michael Jordan.
Oh, okay, I got
KD is not chasing LeBron. KD in his own world. He just love hooping.
Well, you know what? He should go with LeBron then, because LeBron gonna get all ask all the questions. He get the fade in the background and just hoop.
We know that's not possible.
I still believe there's a side of Kevin Durant that would like the idea of I'm gonna go help save LeBron's legacy to provide him another championship. Mm. And obviously, if Kyrie and Kevin have become kind of a package deal. They're almost like become best friends. Is that fair? Mm-hmm. Close. Yeah. Then Kyrie and Kevin with the Lakers, that I wouldn't rule that out. I could see that as a possibility, mm-hmm. a distinct possibility. Kevin's not above that, not thinking like that. So the other thing that I'm going to caution people on is Kyrie and Kevin have become so close that it looked like at the All-Star game they were actually staging things to plant seeds in the media of, oh, we're going to do this or we're going to do that because they don't like the media. So they said, let's just toy with the media. Mm-hmm. Let's jack them around. Let's make them think this or think that. Mm-hmm. And so now we have until July 1st, and those two are going to conspire to mislead the media at every juncture that they can. I also occasionally find both Kevin and Kyrie are deep thinkers, but they're still sometimes childlike to me in that they're all over the map. Yeah. And they wake up one morning and it's like, I'm done with this. And the next morning, you know, it's not so bad here. So to me, they're going to change their minds 1,000 times before July 1st.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I can see that happening.
No question.
But yeah, look. Kyrie is never going to have it as good as he had it with LeBron. Mm. Phillip Bailey had to realize that when he left Earth, Wind & Fire. He left, tried to do the thing on his own.
Mm.
He had to come back. You remember?
Hey, they still got some time left. Boston can still go on a run, and we can be saying different stuff about them at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So I still don't believe he's going back to Boston.
Yeah. I honestly don't either.
I don't either.
I don't care what happened. I don't think he's going back to Boston.
I'm just getting a stronger and stronger feeling. Kevin Durant is not going to stay in Golden State. Could that change depending on what the outcome is this year? Sure.
Yeah.
All I know is AD going to L.A.
I know KD wants that bag, though. He can get that bag right there in Golden State.
He can get it.
The biggest bag.
Yeah.
But
he deserved the bag.
But see, when you make that kind of money, and with what he has going on in Silicon Valley, he let somebody run that. He gonna get the bag coming.
Mm. Yeah, you can go anywhere, but right here in the West, where he at, I think he like it out here. The weather's different.
Mm.
Hey, well, that weather up there ain't better than that weather down here. Northern California weather ain't got nothing like old Southern California.
Not quite the same.
You know what? there are parts up there.
It's cold up there right now.
But in the East Bay, it's beautiful, man.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It ain't beautiful like Malibu.
It's cold.
It ain't like Beverly Hills in Bel Air.
It's cold in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Real cold.
It is.
Where I'm at, old Bel Air, where I'm at, I ain't in Bel Air. I'm stopped there.
You're close.
I'm close.
You're
I'm walking this
block. Yeah, I'm walking this you up on the hill in Bel Air.
You know what I'm saying?
Living life.
You know?
Life is good for you.
It ain't bad.
I'm out on L.A. weather now because LeBron ruined it. He brought Cleveland.
He ruined it.
He brought L.A.
Skip.
It's his fault. Am I right?
Yeah. I mean, it's been a weird winter.
It's rained more in the last, since in 2019 than it rained all in the 2016, 17, and 18.
I think than in the last 50 years.
Yeah.
Because I was here for 3 years in the 70s, and I swear it rained one day in 3 years.
Yeah.
Now it rains every day.
Well, now at least we know why.
It's LeBron's fault.
It makes sense. Right?
Bringing the rain.
But guess what? Sunshine ahead.
Yeah.
My grandpa used to always say, boy, sunshine follows rain.
Really?
It's coming.
He said that?
Yeah, it's coming.
When's it coming?
Oh, when we get AD, Kyrie.
Oh.
We're going to get AD, Kyrie.
KD.
No, we can't have all that, Skip. It won't be fair.
No, the commissioner would veto that one.
It could be a different.
We all know that they don't like players coming to L.A., so they will do something to that.
Okay, that's the sunshine we're going to be waiting for. No mercy. Joined now by a guy that will be ringside for the fight, Lennox Lewis. Welcome to Undisputed.
It is an honor to have you at this table.
Yes.
How many Undisputed champions do you have at this
table?
Oh, that's a good question.
We have one.
One.
We all three think there's one.
Everyone thinks it. Yeah. We're going to get to that fight in a bit, but you are a three-time heavyweight champ. So in your opinion, who's the greatest heavyweight of all time?
Jack Johnson, Muhammad Ali.
Okay. Basically,
they both had great strengths, and there's probably a couple more that I didn't mention, but you can basically say they all fit in one room. They're all special in their own way.
Mm. How much could you see of Jack Johnson? Did you see the old grainy tape of it?
I've seen a lot of old footage, and my hero was more Muhammad Ali because I've seen a lot more of him.
Yeah,
right. But if I would have seen Jack Johnson as well, he would have probably changed my boxing a little bit as well. I would have caught something from him, probably a little more showboating or something like that.
I don't know. Ali, he could hold his own there too, right?
Yeah, if I didn't see the Ali shuffle, I was upset. I had to see the Ali shuffle.
So why was he great?
He was great in many ways, not the fact that what he said he did. He moved around the ring really graceful, fast hands, and he could fake you out. He could, psych you out, with just his words and just with his mannerisms. So that's what I love about him.
And against Frazier, he showed some guts and toughness like I've never seen in a ring before.
Yeah. He showed us the rope-a-dope as well. Against Foreman. And, Foreman was a great fighter as well. I learned a lot off of him, watching him fight.
How he handled people, pushed them back, and, his defense, all that type of thing.
So I catch a lot of different things from a lot of old boxers that are great.
Mm. Who would you say your style most emulated?
I kind of developed my own style.
Okay.
I grabbed a little from this person, a little from that person, and I made it into my own style. So something that, like I said, Foreman was doing good, I put that into my style. Everybody said Larry Holmes had a great jab, but it was a jab to mug you. I wanted a jab to knock you out.
Right.
So I developed my jab more as a 2x4.
Snapping it.
Bam. So it's coming straight. So even if it hits you, your face and your whole body is moving back as with it.
But when I look at you, I don't look at you as a heavyweight. You ushered in the division of what we call the super heavyweight.
Yes.
The 6'4", 6'5", to 250, the 245 to 250 guy.
Yeah.
Ali was 205. These heavyweights, Joe Frazier, 205. Even Mike Tyson was like 215-ish. You were that first big, big guy. And you won the Olympic gold in Seoul in 88 as a super heavyweight. Do you look at yourself like, I brought a new era of super heavyweight to boxing?
Yeah, and I think that era needed to be there because, the era was over 200 pounds,
right.
You're a heavyweight.
Right.
So that means, like, okay, if you're 201, you fought a guy that's 250. And sometimes it's not fair, just
right.
The weight difference. And, I'm glad they did it. And you're right. Different eras actually bring out different weights for heavyweights.
Right.
So in Muhammad Ali's era, the highest weight class weight was probably 215.
Right. Mm.
Although George Foreman wasn't exactly little, right?
Right. Then you got Larry Holmes. They're 230, 220. Hmm. Got my era is two.
With the Klitschko brothers. Yeah,
230, 245.
Now Wilder, and Joshua.
They're 245. You know, Wilder surprises me. Mm-hmm. 212 pounds, and he can. That's pure muscle he's got, and he can generate a lot of power. Comes from a long way away, and when it lands, bingo.
But how Fury get up?
Fury.
How did Fury get up after taking that shot flush?
It wasn't a flush shot. It was more of a glancing shot. Okay. And I think he was down there already.
Right.
So when he got hit, he just laid down and he's like, "Oh, I made a mistake. Let me just get up," because it didn't really affect me that much. Mm-hmm. And you know, the referee should be commended, because usually referees say and call off the fight.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This was like basically last round, and he's like allowing him to get up.
Right.
You know, you could look at a couple of my losses.
Right.
You know, I'm the champion. Man knocks me down in the second round. Right. I get up. The referee goes like that. I'm like, I'm the champion. Why are you waving it off? So you get those.
You're talking about the Rockman fight?
Yeah, yeah.
I remember that fight.
Mm. So,
speaking of George Foreman, after back in 2002, that you toyed with Mike Tyson and then just destroyed him, like you just had your way with him. George Foreman declared you were the greatest heavyweight of all time. And I think he was emphasizing the word heavyweight.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. You know, the fact that he said that was a great honor to me, you know what I mean? Obviously, he's been watching me box for a long time, so he's watched how I've come up and how I've developed. So, you know, I appreciate the fact that he said that.
So now let's go to the other end of the scale, the little people, such as Floyd Mayweather Jr. Your thoughts on his career? How impressed have you been from a distance about him?
Very impressed. You know, I was wondering, why can't anybody catch him? And it's funny to see boxers go in there and say, I'm going to beat him. I'm going to, you know, he's not strong than me. Yeah. And they're throwing punches. They can't catch him. Mm-hmm. Then they say to themselves, you know what? He moves a lot. I'm gonna practice moving, then I'm gonna catch him. Then they have a second fight. I'm like, this is something you can't learn over a fight. You have to learn over years to be able to cut off the ring and catch a guy and know how to go after a guy like Floyd. So that's the big mistake they're making. But as far as his career, great career, he's an amazing athlete. He did it his way, and you know, he's undefeated. Not many boxers can say that. I'm undefeated to a point, because everybody that beat me, I beat them back. And then when Floyd says he's the greatest boxer ever, I'm like, you didn't box me.
True.
All right.
But when people look at Floyd, they say, well, he doesn't really, because he doesn't knock people out. But can you explain to people that Floyd hits harder than one would expect, because they don't just walk through his punches?
Right. Well, you know, a good thing that Floyd does, right, when guys are coming after him, it makes it seem like he's going away. But when they're coming forward, he comes forward. Mm. And when those things hit, you know, that's where his power comes out and shows his power. And a lot of people don't realize how quick he is. Man is quick on his feet, quick with his hands, quick with his body. You know, he does this little tic-tac thing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, you know, this is what he's been doing from a baby.
Right.
So it's like, that's you know, true.
That Rohit.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, every time you throw a punch at him, he's going to do that and come back with a punch. Nobody can figure it out.
Hmm. So give us some insight into this Spence-Garcia fight that we will see a week from Saturday night.
Exciting fight. You got two undefeated guys. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, Garcia comes from a family of fighters. And, you know, he's got great skill, great history behind him. And he's up against, he's moving up in weight class. He's up against Spence. Spence is a bigger man than him, longer arms, but they both throw great punches. Mm. So it's going to be a slugfest. Mm. It's going to be a chess match, and it's going to be a war all in one. Mm.
But the southpaw by Spence Jr., how big a factor would that play into an orthodox or straight a right-hand fighter like Garcia?
Well, you know, he's been
boxing. Because you a southpaw.
No, I'm orthodox.
You orthodox?
I'm orthodox.
So how were you throwing that left, that...
This one?
You do that one hit a quitter, huh?
Yeah, that was my haymaker. You know, the
jab.
Yeah. Most people usually see a punch coming straight.
Okay.
So they're prepared for that straight punch. But when a punch comes out of there over here, they're either, they're not looking over there. They're still expecting it straight because that's all they've been working on. If they've been sparring a guy that's been a wild punchy, then they'll be prepared for that type of shot.
Okay.
But the southpaw always is a difficulty, especially guys that are not used to it.
Right.
Garcia's going to be used to it. He's been boxing for too long. He knows what to do.
Did that cause you? Did southpaw fighters cause you a problem?
Guess how many southpaw fighters I boxed?
How many?
None.
No way.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Is that?
That wasn't by design, was it?
You know what? No, nobody really came.
Yeah. I was gonna say heavyweights.
Yeah, nobody really came into play with that was a southpaw. The last southpaw I remember fighting was in the Canadian Championships.
Huh.
And I just pressured him, boom, boom, boom. I didn't even allow him to throw any shots because I knew myself that, oh, he's going to be punching from a different angle. I've sparred with a southpaw, and that was like, you know, I wasn't really happy because it's like I'm, you know, that thing again where I'm looking for the orthodox fighter to come at me.
And it's coming and from a different angle.
Right. Mm. So you really have to get used to that.
It sounds like you're leaning Garcia is just the better fighter.
No, Spence's, that's his weight class. Okay. Garcia's moving up.
Okay. I know.
When you're moving up and boxing a guy he's the best guy at his weight class, it's difficult. Not many people have done that in history. Only a couple, Pacquiao, has done it in history. Yeah. And, you know, if there's one guy to do it, it's him, Mikey.
Let me ask you this. Well, how difficult is it to move up weight classes and still maintain power? Because that's what Pacquiao was able to do, move up from 106, 112, and go all the way up to 154 and still possess knockout power. Yeah. How difficult is that?
Well, you know, what you find with a lot of these boxers, they box two weights down. But when they're walking around, they're walking two weights up.
Okay.
So it's a situation where, all right, I don't have to lose weight anymore. Right. I can box at the weight I walk around. Right. Sometimes that's a mistake because they don't usually bring the power with them.
Right.
And when they move up in weight classes, the guys at heavier weight classes can absorb punishment more, and it's not easy to knock them out.
Right.
So that's what he's facing in this fight.
All right. Great stuff. Interesting. Lennox, thank you so much for being here. I'm looking forward to this one. Make sure to check out Spence Garcia next Saturday on pay-per-view. Appreciate your time.
No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Monday for another week of Undisputed. We'll see you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.